Continuing Revelation in the 13th chapter. Begin reading with the 11th verse where it speaks of the another beast is where we're going to begin. Read to the end of the chapter today. Revelation chapter 13, beginning to read with verse 11. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the measures of those whose miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. He did power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Let's begin with prayer, Father. I thank you for your precious word. Thank you for the special and for the beautiful hymns. Thank you for the Sunday school classes this morning. Every opportunity we have to come and to hear your word, that we may be strengthened and that we will go from these four walls and face this world, this ungodly world, and be able to stand and proclaim your truth and show folks that there is only one way, and it's by the way of the cross. It's the only way. And so please, dear Lord, that you will help us proclaim that sweet message with strength and with boldness. We have a beast here, Father, one that comes that speaks with boldness, but his boldness is words of blasphemy, that he speaks against God, denying everything that is of God or about God. And so we need to have a voice and a strong voice, and we have the precious power of the Holy Spirit to give us that strength today, to give us that wisdom of when to speak and what to say and what to do. And so please, dear Lord, I just ask for your strength and for your wisdom, and that we be not folks that are passive, but we're folks of action, that we are busy proclaiming your truth and bringing people to Christ and sharing it with our families and with those that are lost around us, and then bringing them into the house that they may be fed. Please guide and lead us now, dear Lord, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. I'm going to cover quite a few things this morning in review before we get started. Be very quickly, it won't take very long, but without doing that, it kind of leaves us maybe unaware of where we're starting here. And so we have with this 11th verse here, we have another beast coming down to the earth. We find that this other beast that comes has two horns, is like a lamb, speaks as a dragon. There are two beasts now, and there are dictators. One is a political leader and one is a religious leader. The second beast will make his appearance and will bring seemingly peace in the way he talks. You know, every leader for years and years, they talk, I'm going to bring peace, I'm going to bring peace. Well, this ungodly one here will say the same words, I'll bring peace, I'll bring peace. But we know the only one that can bring peace is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so we need to stand upon the Word of God, but there are so many false teachers, false preachers, and false peace announced throughout the world, and this will be no different time during this time. The first beast was secular power. The second beast was religious power. The first beast was Gentile. The second beast is a Jew. The first beast had 10 horns. The second beast had 2 horns. The first beast was a civil authority. The second beast was a religious authority. I'm moving very quickly because this is all review from last week, so I'm sure you all remembered. I just want you to get it set in your mind. The second beast is under the first beast. And so he will get his. The second beast uses the military power of the first beast to enforce what he wants. And so the second beast is kind of like a lieutenant, you might say. The first beast is the head of a very vast military political organization. And we find that the second beast will rule in Palestine. And he becomes the minister of the first beast. The second beast is one who deceives the world. The second beast is the one that's going to labor untiringly, as we said last week, to put all those religions of the earth into the hand of Satan. That's his goal, to bring all the religions of the world together. So there will be one world church. Sometimes it seems that that we are losing the battle as the Christians become more and more a minority. Other religions and cults of the world seem to be growing at a faster pace. But I promise you that we are not losing, that we are on the winning side. And as Romans 8:31 tells us, if God be for us, who can be against us? We need to remember and never forget that the devil is the prince and the power of the air. He today is the god of this age, but the day will come when he will be stripped from all of this power and be placed into the lake of fire. He has been leading souls, rich and poor alike, to the fires of hell for 6,000 years. Sometimes it would seem that the devil is better at what he does than at what we do in bringing people to Christ. The first three verses of chapter 13 is speaking of an empire, and the reason I wanted to go through all these things is because that's what we're really going to be talking about this morning, of this raising of this empire again. Verses 4 through 10 of the 13th chapter refers to a person, the dictator of this empire, and the 10 kingdom confederacy that's going to be together that he will be the leader of. The second beast is just a beastly human, we could say. We look at the Lamb of God. We look and see in Revelation 5:6 that he has 7 horns. 7 is the number of perfection in the Word of God. The Lamb of God is all-powerful, and as we said last week, omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient, all-powerful. He is in all places at the same time, and he is all-knowing. That is our God. The devil is not. Satan does not have those powers or qualities. We are on the winning side. This false lamb, the Antichrist, has 2 horns, limited power. There's another name for this second beast, and you'll find that to be the false prophet, the false prophet. Understand that the dragon, the devil, Satan, desires to both spiritually and morally ruin everything. That's what he set out to do. Rome and Jerusalem will be the centers of Satan's activities in the last days. Now we come to the lesson today. The 13th verse of this chapter. He doth great wonders so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on earth in the sight of men. A couple different preachers made the comment that I could fill my church too if I could do that. If I could speak to heaven and fire would come down, this building wouldn't hold the people that would want to come and see such a wonder and such a miracle. And this second beast will have such power to do that. to bring fire down. Everything is set now for this miracle worker, this liar, this deceiver as he comes onto the scene. This wild beast will have power. He will have great power. As we look at the wonders and the miracles, and we look at different means that folks go about to fill churches today, they do it by building a magnificent building that draws folks in. They just want to come because it's so beautiful. Call that a form of a statue or an image. Some come because of the music that is there. And normally today, that music is, the words are okay if you could hear them. But the beat and everything that goes with it tends to always move towards our feelings and our emotions and not so much to our heart. And so it really gets us motivated and stirred up when we're there, or it does to some. It does the opposite to me. It depresses me because it just it's like the spirit does not want that, does not want us to be under that. But if the church is ungodly, which many of the churches are that possess these things, they enjoy it. It's kind of a nightclub style service. And so as long as you have a short little message and it doesn't bring the power of the Holy Spirit down on the people and you have all this music, it tends to fill the church. Many have lost the sight of the doctrines of the Word of God. There are many, many churches that have followed leaders today that do not stand upon the Word. Rick Warren is one that today is a powerful man, fills stadiums, but he does not stand upon the truths of the Word of God. So you see, Satan is already in the process of preparing people to follow the lies and not the truths. Let's stay in the Word of God. Let's teach the Word of God. Let's stay in Bible study and let's stand upon this book, because this book is the only book that can give us the truth and the direction. Remember, these two beasts are together. One is political, the other is religious. The first will be the most powerful leader of the United Kingdom that has ever been on this earth. He will be bold. As I said earlier, he will be the greatest blasphemer that has ever lived. The second beast, on the other hand, will have really no royal authority outside of Palestine. So he will use the power of the first to bring about his wishes. And his wishes will be to get every individual to bow down to Rome and worship the great beast. That's what he desires. And as we look at this 13th verse, he doth great wonders so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. The verse 12 tells us once again, he exercises all the power of the first beast before him, caused the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wounds was healed. And so we're going to have an image here that they're going to bow down to before long, and it will be required. The second beast will have no material military power of his own. The military power will be turned over to the first beast by the dragon, the devil. The second beast is much worse than the first beast. Because you see, the second beast will go after to influence religion. His goal is to deceive all the world that he is God, that the first beast is God. That's the purpose of the second beast, that he is God and the real God, Jehovah, is a lie. And that's what he's going to set out to do. So that makes him more wicked than ever. He leads them into the form of idol worship that will be greater than anything this history has ever seen. And again, this time period is during the tribulation period. This is not a time period that anyone here has to live in. But if you reject Christ today and do not trust in him as your Savior, you will move into this time period if you are alive at the time. If not, you will already be into the place of torment awaiting the lake of fire. He demands men to worship him. He sits in the temple in Jerusalem and announces publicly that he is Almighty God. It's been reported for many years now that the Jews have every stone cut, ready to rebuild the temple. So why haven't they rebuilt the temple? It's because they don't have the Temple Mount. Why don't they have the Temple Mount? It's because it's not God's time. They can throw a stone. They're that close to owning the Temple Mount. But they don't. And the reason they don't is because as soon as they got back, they would have rebuilt the temple. So God couldn't give them that property. And there sits the dome. And it'll sit there until that day when Israel returns back to the land during this tribulation period, and they will quickly rebuild this temple, but not until it is the time that God has spoken of. It's not time. The second beast is the one who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God. You see the horror of these two beasts. One political, one religious. He will exalt himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped. So he, as God, will sit in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That's what's coming. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, please. Second Thessalonians chapter 2. We're going to read verses 5 and 6 today. Second Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 5. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. It's coming. It's coming. Jesus came. Jesus came in his Father's name. What happened? No one believed. This false Messiah will come in his own name, and almost all will believe. With the exception of those during this tribulation period that heard the gospel from the 144,000 and from the two witnesses that we looked at in the 11th chapter, their testimonies, many, millions, will come to Christ. Most Jews. When this time comes, there will be a multitude of the nation of Israel saved. Isn't it so sad that they could have been saved serving and praising God for the last 2,000 years as a nation? Instead of that, they were cast out and cast aside and only received possession of part of their land back in 1948 to once again fulfill prophecy after prophecy after prophecy. Most during the tribulation period will not be saved. There will be a great excitement in that city to come to receive something called the mark of the beast. They will be sent a great delusion, a strong delusion, and they will believe the lie of this. And I don't believe the devil has waited with all of his power of delusion to lay it upon the people only during the tribulation period. Otherwise, what's the reason and excuse for today that so many people have followed after the lies that are present? Please look with me to 2 Thessalonians again, chapter 2, verses 8 through 12. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 8 through 12. And it says, "And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they shall believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but hath pleasure in unrighteousness." The end of verse 10. They received not the love of the truth. You see, the Word of God, God's precious Word, comes with the greatest love that's ever been found on this earth. His precious truths. The love of the truth. So they can be saved. Understand. The devil and his demons and his servants that we're looking at through this time of the close of the time of Revelation, as we look at these, there is only one goal that the devil has, and that is to destroy. The devil builds up nothing. The devil strengthens nothing. The only thing the devil is out to do is to tear you apart. Now, he'll use some lies. It'll have the appearance of good, because he knows the final. He knows the end. Because if he can keep you away from the love of the truth, he's got you. He doesn't care if you live as the best saint ever lived upon earth. Gave all your money away, worked, and you lived like a slave all of your life, possessed nothing because you gave it all away to help somebody. He loves that, as long as you don't have the heart of Christ. He loves that. He is out to destroy, to devour. Jesus come to seek and to save those that are lost. The world is ready. The stage is set. The people are anxious for the appearance of this Superman. They're looking for him, both religiously and politically. The world is primed. It's ready to accept and to follow the lies that this individual will bring, these individuals. the lies, and they will come to fool and to deceive multitudes and will be successful. We've got a couple different groups, as we spoke of a little earlier. But the religious group today, one is set strongly within the World Council of Churches and the National Council of Churches, backed by strong denominations. They're deceivers in many cases. And the other, why they kind of go for the feelings and the emotions and things like that instead of going to the Word of God for their stand. You see, since Jesus walked upon this earth and performed multitudes of miracles, and the works that he has performed, the world cannot contain the volumes that it would take to show us all that he did while he was here. Besides our Lord and Savior, this miracle worker that's going to come on the scene is going to be very powerful. And his miracles that he's performed will all be of no value. But people love excitement. People love the thrill. Why do you think that Las Vegas has all the lights? They say, I never have, but they say that when you're flying over Las Vegas that you can see it for miles. It's just a glow. Why? Oh, the devil loves the flare. He loves that excitement. Because you know what? He knows we do. He knows we do. You know, this one is going to call down fire and it's going to come. And there was one a few years ago back in Kings, the followers of Balaam. They ran into a man called Elijah. And he gave them every opportunity to bring fire down. They cut themselves. They did everything they could do to get their God to do it, and their God couldn't do it. And then, if you remember the story, why Elijah, you know, not only builds the fire, but he pours water around it, and after God's fire comes down, the fire's put out, the altar's gone, the water's licked up, it even, you know, scattered the dust when he was done. That's what he did. Well, this deceiver will have power to do that. Will have power to do that. And so there will be many that will follow. This beast uses these miracles to deceive them that dwell upon the earth. And we find in the 14th verse here, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. There's an image. Hey, you remember an image in the past, back in Nebuchadnezzar's day, about 2,500 years ago? There was an image. That image, that statue was built, and all was required to bow down to it or die. Again, it returns. The devil uses the same tricks. He gets somebody so powerful, and then they build an image. You either bow down or you die. Bow down or you die. We find as we look at these verses of Scripture here that the first beast died a very violent death, if you'll remember. We've got to go all the way back to the 5th century to find this. Remember some time ago we talked about the fall of Rome? Well, that's what it's talking about with this first beast when he was put to death, but he still lived. There's just little kingdoms, separate kingdoms around, and Rome still kept itself of no value, but there's going to be a time it's going to be raised again. And not only is that empire going to come, but as well, there will be an emperor to take that place. This will be raised up. There will be once again control by Rome. Died and yet lived. And if you'll read back through history, you'll find that there were a multitude, millions of savages, barbarians that came down from the north and swept down upon Rome and destroyed them. And it was brutal. And most was killed with a sword. What does this scripture tell us? Wounded by a sword and did live. They thought Rome was put down forever. But it lived. It's going to be raised up again as a mighty with this ten confederate, this kingdom, the ten kingdoms. It just continues, and we're really out of time here, and so we'll begin with the, he had power to give life to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. So next week we're going to get into the number, the 666, so please don't miss as we close out this 13th chapter. We just continue to look at this time that we're dealing with during the tribulation period. I don't believe there's any of us here that don't have folks that we know and folks that we love that would want to see saved and would not want to see go into this time. Why has God recorded for us so that we can properly warn those that choose to go the other direction? There's only one way. That's by the cross of Calvary. That's it. We need to bring people to Jesus. Tell them about Jesus. Let's be bold. How do we get the power? We get the power by studying His Word. That's how we get it. Because the Spirit of God, through His Word, can give us the power and the wisdom of what to do each day, the strength to do it. Let's close with prayer. Father, I thank You today that we can come and kind of review. Much of it was review, and yet we continue to just little bit upon little bit, precept upon precept, as we continue to build this time in our minds so we can see what's coming. And it should just excite, because everything, dear Father, is in place for the rapture to take place. It's already. There's nothing to stop the Lord from coming to get His church, other than there must be the need of one more to be saved. Well, let's lead that last one to the Lord, and home we go. Please, dear Father, just guide and lead us each and every day. Thank You for Your precious word. Thank You for the singing again today. We just thank You for the day that You've given us and the beautiful weather. Excite our hearts with Your truths. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.